In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
We will shortly be invited to come forward and have ash sprinkled on our foreheads, an ancient sign of something happening in our lives. And the priest will say, "Remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return." We hear the same words at a burial: earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Powerful words which remind us of what we are. When I was serving my title in Leeds, I had an allotment on Woodhouse Moor. It was like the United Nations there. I only met one native-born Yorkshireman, and he was on the plot next to me. And on his land, he spread shoddy, waste from a woolen mill, which he had acquired at a Yorkshireman's favourite price, which means free. I asked him why he put it on the land, and he said it was for the good of the soil. "If it came out of the ground, it'll go back into it," he said. "Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." He just used fewer syllables. I often thought it was like living in the Book of Proverbs, being in the parish. Many people are unlettered, as we say, but they love pithy wisdom and to share it. And I think maybe we as Christians must learn to share the gospel in the same way. Now, we know that we are dust formed from the earth. We are creatures of the Creator. And Adam means earth, soil, clay in Hebrew. And this man is shaped by God, shaped by God. Today, as Lent begins, we put ourselves into the hands of God, as Father George reminded us on Sunday, to be shaped anew in love. We know our faults, and we desire to be a new creation in the hand of God. And the ash reminds us that we are clay, which can be shaped. It can be shaped in love by our Creator. We will not be the finished article in this life, but remember that the earth, the soil, the clay of Hebrew is also the humus in Latin, which in turn gives us that word humility. And that is the key ingredient of any creature which has a true relationship with the Creator. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Grace comes to the humble, St. James says. And so the words, "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return," are not simple foreboding, but hope for the humble who desire recreation, reshaping in love. And we cooperate in this work of love in three ways: in confession of sin, in prayer, and in fasting. Fear not, I am not going to delve into all three. Fasting. Fasting is giving up good things which we enjoy. The rule of St. Benedict says that one of the 74 tools of good works is to love fasting, to love fasting. It's not a burdensome imposition, it is a love. And it's as old as the hills, as the ground, the clay, the dust beneath our feet. Moses, Elijah, our Lord, and all the saints did it. Remember Anna in the Gospel of Candlemas only a couple of weeks ago, serving the Lord with fasting and with prayer. Christians have embraced going without big meals and embracing occasionally what we now call vegetarian or vegan diets. Not because eating meat or eggs or honey makes you a bad person, but out of love and because we normally enjoy them. And this is a way to prepare for the great feast when we shall eat all these things again. Humble fasting puts us into the hands which will reshape us in love. If you want a little definition of fasting, in today's advice, it's having one adequate meal a day and possibly two snacks so that you don't faint. Because if you faint, you're not doing much of a favour to the people who have to pick you up. And it also entails abstinence from certain foods which you really love. In the Gospel today, our Lord says, when you fast. Not if, when you fast. And if you haven't before, why not try it this Lent? It's as old as the hills, as the dust beneath your feet and on your heads. And the humble fast will truly put a spring in your step this coming Lent. There's a piece of paper that I had put out, which you might find useful. It's something that I found when I had to go to London once, and it was in a copy of The Guardian, which somebody else had left behind. I think it's particularly good, and it reminds us of some of the pitfalls as well as the point of Lent. And there's also a very good little book called Christian Fasting from the Catholic Truth Society, written by a nun of St. Cecilia's Abbey on the Isle of Wight, Ryde, which is very good at explaining the nature of fasting and also how fasting can go wrong and lead you into error. So I don't lend people in Oxford books because you never get them back. But if you find a good bookshop, you might be able to get hold of a copy of that. But fasting will put a spring into our steps this Lent. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.